Quack, quack, quack!
Deep Bad Fried. Deep Bad Fried.
Cock a goddamn doodle doo. It's time for more Deep Fat Fucking Fried. And this is a true episode of Deep Fat Fried.
Oh yeah. Oh. This is one of our, you know, this is one of our good ones. One of our good ass where we get to sit and be gluttonous pigs and just eat a bunch of deep fried shit and pretend it's a show while we're really just
eating.
Yeah.
That is not Scotty. How dare you.
Scotty, come up with some kind of bullshit where we get to eat.
Yep.
And as usual, I deliver.
In the tradition of our cereal episode.
But first, let's oh yeah, and the hostess episode.
Oh man, that one.
We both got of those a big episodes, old bag of chicken here. It's heavy.
Both of those episodes, I think, took at least like 5 years apiece off my life.
Oh yeah.
I just want to let you know.
I mean, you're already dead.
I'm pretty real. Yeah. No, yeah, of course.
Before we even get to the chicken, let's talk about another guy who died, speaking of death. Because I saw this story, and I was just like, man, I wish I'd seen this yesterday when we were pulling for Flash Fried. This guy, show him the chicken. Yeah, we got chicken galore up
just
in this motherfucker.
Just a bag of chicken corpses.
So, anyway, let's take a look at this. Health company CEO gives speech about health and longevity, suffers heart attack, and dies.
Wow.
Well, isn't it ironic?
Don't you think? We've always heard of people who are a little older than us telling us that health is wealth, and after learning about this incident, it is definitely true. And these fucking Asians can't write. Anyway, you check this out. So this dude, he's giving his speech about health and wellness.
Yeah, I actually got to watch a guy drop dead of a heart attack.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
There's no blood.
Yeah, it's not graphic.
And that's why I'm going to live forever. Nope. Bloop.
Oh, no. Oh.
Bloopity doopity doo.
Yeah, it's not like graphic. It's just like, it's just crazy, dude. He just runs into the podium.
What timing?
I know, right? Just, I mean, like, it's almost like you pissed God off, man. It is revealed that he collapsed due to a heart attack and unfortunately has passed away. When asked about his health condition over the years, his colleagues revealed that he had undergone a coronary bypass surgery about 20 years ago. Originally, Mr. Chen was supposed to go to the hospital after the event that he was attending to install a pacemaker. Unexpectedly, the heart attack came too soon, and he passed away before the appointment.
Wow.
So he even knew he was not healthy. But I guess he still felt the need to give that speech. You're just tempting fate at that point.
That's just the guy I want to hear from, too, about health and wellness, a dude that's fucking croaking.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, who's a better role model for you there? The guy that just drops it down on a stage? I mean, he doesn't look like that old. How old was he?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't crack. He might have been like 90.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? That's true.
Yeah. He could have been.
You never do know.
He could have been 1,000 years old for all you know. He could have been Pi Mei.
He could have had the liquid from the red sarcophagus. But you know, it only goes so far. Only does so much.
Did you
for
say
you.
The liquid from the red sarcophagus?
Yes.
That's not right.
Is that?
It's the red liquid from the dark sarcophagus.
Oh, the dark. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't add that.
Idiot.
The dark part to it. Well, hey, maybe that's why. Hey, maybe I'm actually right. Maybe if he had it from the dark sarcophagus, he actually would still be alive.
Maybe so.
Maybe he just had it from the light sarcophagus.
Oh, man. I don't like it.
You don't like the light sarcophagus? Why not?
Because it's bullshit.
It's not edgy enough for you?
Yeah.
The happy sarcophagus.
You know, nothing in that ironic song is actually ironic.
Yeah.
And that in itself is ironic.
I think that was the point, Paul.
Is that really the point?
No.
I don't think so. I think there's a couple things in
like
the song.
Like what? Okay, I'll go through the things.
All right, hold on, let me pull up the fucking
lyrics. I know every lyric to the song.
All right.
So, an old man turns 98. he won the lottery and died the next day. Is that ironic?
No.
No, that's just misfortunate. It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. That's okay. Just misfortunate.
No, that's misfortunate.
It's not ironic.
Death row pardon 2 minutes too late. That's just misfortunate. That's not ironic.
Yeah.
Rain on your wedding day.
That's not ironic. What about
a free ride when you've already paid?
What about the guy on the plane? Isn't that kind of ironic?
No, it isn't. It's
well, what's the definition of ironic then, Paul? I mean, like, what? Okay, let's look
like
at the,
that. Like that. Like a dude giving a speech for health and wellness, croaking of a fucking heart attack.
Well, yeah,
in the middle of it.
I agree with that.
That's irony.
Okay, let's define it. What do you actually think the definition of ironic is?
I don't know, dude. I'm bad with definitions, but I know irony when I see
it. Hold on. Happening.
So there's no way to actually codify what something is, so it can
happening,
be whatever you want.
Happening in the opposite way to what is expected.
Okay.
And typically causing wry amusement because of this.
Right.
Okay.
So it has to be like you're expecting something to happen one way, but then it happens in another way.
Well, if a guy's afraid of flying and he's going to die and the plane crashes,
I mean, I guess
and he overcomes the fear, that is kind of ironic.
I guess it is sort of ironic that he overcomes his fear of flying.
You could make an argument for it, but I think it's stretching the rules of irony.
There's one irony thing.
It's not great.
It's
not really great irony, though.
It's not. I'll give you that. It's not great.
There's a no smoking sign on your cigarette break.
No, that's not ironic.
That's not ironic.
That just sucks. Yeah. Like, a lot of it is just that.
It's more just like, oh, man.
Yeah, isn't it misfortunate?
And doesn't it suck?
Don't you think?
But it doesn't sound as good. Isn't it misfortunate? You know, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. I guess I think maybe you can make a case for the guy who was afraid to fly and then his plane crashes. Because you don't expect the plane to crash.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, he spent his whole life expecting the plane to crash. So in a way, it's almost the opposite of irony.
I don't know. Fuck, man. Maybe you actually got me on that one.
I mean, I don't know. I guess the fact that he worked to overcome it.
He does get the wry amusement at the end, though.
Yeah,
because the plane
true.
Crashes down, he goes, well, isn't that nice?
I feel like there's a twinge of irony in it, but
it's definitely not.
It's not ironic enough to be in a song that's supposed to be about
irony.
But
I'll give you, I don't think anything else in the song actually is ironic.
I'm trying to think of some of the other
ones. It's like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife.
It's meeting the man of your dreams and then meeting his beautiful wife.
See, that's not ironic at all.
Is it that Alanis Morissette just didn't get what irony is, or is it just that no one cares what irony is?
Well, it is ironic that the song isn't ironic. So maybe she's she was very meta with it.
There was a parody song a while back that actually begins with the line, it's like a pop song about irony, but all of the lyrics are irony free.
Yeah.
And he actually
I think Alanis knew what she was doing.
Probably so.
It's one of those words, though, that I do see a lot of argument around, like, whether or not something is ironic
or not. Well, it's also a word that's been completely just, like, made almost meaningless, because people will say shit is ironic all the time.
Dude, that's ironic.
Oh, man, isn't that ironic? It's just one of those words that people throw around.
Yeah, he was driving home drunk, and then he crashed into a bus. Isn't that ironic?
No. That's the most likely outcome. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'd be, like, ironic if someone was, like, fucking falling over drunk and you expect them to get into a crash, but somehow they fucking do all these crazy, you know, and escape.
I saw a live performance of Ironic once by Alanis, and she actually made that meeting the man of your dreams slightly more ironic. She changed a lyric. She says, meeting the man of your dreams and then meeting his beautiful husband. That does defy expectation.
A little bit.
And gives you a little bit of a wry sense of...
He's gay, I see.
Yeah, I can see that. That's a little bit more. That's a little more on the ironic. But it tips it a little bit more. A
little bit. Slightly more.
Slightly.
She's super rich, by the way.
Yeah, didn't she invest in Pandora or something? Or one of those companies?
Yeah, there was some company. I don't even know if it's still around or whether it was one of the ones that actually had longevity or
not. It was a streaming
not.
Company, right?
Yeah, and she was like she got like a huge amount of stock around before, I think, like in the IPO, and then it fucking surged, and she made a fucking huge shit pot full of money.
I mean, the only thing she did differently from your average middling rock star that makes a bunch of money and then ends up broke is she invested her money instead of spending it on coke and hookers and private jets and 8 houses, you know what I mean?
And she didn't put out a bunch of albums after to try to capitalize, too. I mean, I think she didn't put out an album for like 15 years or something after Jagged Little
Pill. She only had one good album. I
mean, yeah, well, she did a Jagged Little Pill like acoustic album that she released that did really well.
That's true. Yeah,
yeah, I know she recently did like a live performance of the whole album and shit too. So
yeah, I remember selling it at Starbucks. It's actually pretty good. I don't know. I liked Jagged Little Pill.
Oh, Jagged Little Pill is a good album. It really is.
No, yeah, I agree.
And she had a.
She's my favorite.
She had a super unique singing style that really fucking
the chick rockers
gelled with the '90s kind of fucking idea.
Remember the chick rockers in the '90s? She was my favorite.
She was the best one.
She was easily the best one.
There was something about the way she sang that just kind of like she could hit the notes, but also you get like this real strong sarcastic kind of like sort of thing going on.
Yeah, well, it was just. Did I remember that? Everyone just loved that. Like
she was like a Disney kid, wasn't she?
I don't know.
I think she was. I think she was a Disney kid before she became a rock star.
Maybe. I never heard that. Could be.
Yeah. Let me look it up.
I hate to praise a Canadian on this show, unfortunately, because I know she is from
Canada. Every once in a while, Canada does churn out.
I mean, once a blue moon, Canada has something good come out of it.
You know?
All the more reason to conquer and liberate those people. The good ones, of course.
Right.
The other ones will just be subjugated. She'll be exempt, of course. I mean, there is an artistic exemption in there.
Mm-mm. Yeah, this is irony is a really misused word though, and you know I think it's because it's kind of hard to get it. I mean, like I feel like it's usually kind of like debatable what's ironic and what's not. But of course everyone thinks they know. I know what irony is.
Well, you set an example of that a second ago. All right, TJ, put up the image, dude. Put up the first image, man.
Yes,
she was a Nickelodeon.
Oh, kid. Nickelodeon.
Yes, master.
Since the dawn of time, one chicken sandwich has reigned supreme. Its power and prestige is unquestioned. When your stomach growled from pains of hunger, you knew there could be only one fried chicken sandwich to sate your stomach's pleas. The Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. But the road to the best chicken sandwich would not be a quick one, DJ.
Fuck.
Next image.
There you go.
Got it.
In the bag, right there.
Look at that.
Do I still need this space music?
No, you don't need the space
music. Go away, space music.
Open 24 hours. So you know what this place is? Does anyone know what this is?
It's the Dwarf Grill.
That is the Dwarf Grill.
Sounds like a place I should own.
Sounds like a place Peter should own.
Oh, come on.
This place is actually extremely important to the chicken sandwich.
No, it's not.
It is, TJ.
No, it's not, Scotty.
So, TJ, Chick-fil-A.
This ain't Chick-fil-A. This is the Dwarf Grill.
Didn't get its catchy name right off the bat, TJ. Before Chick-fil-A.
Wait a minute. Did Chick-fil-A start as the Dwarf Grill?
Yes. not really, because actually they still exist. Before
what?
Chick-fil-A...
Wait, hold on. So
there was
still a Dwarf Grill?
They actually call it the Dwarf House now, but this is the original one. There was the Dwarf House, but this actually originally called the Dwarf Grill, where founder S. Truett Cathy opened in 1946 in Hapeville, Georgia.
His first name was S.
Yes.
That's ironic.
Ironically... The Dwarf's House menu focused on hamburgers and steaks.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, there actually is currently still 12 Dwarf House restaurants across the U.S. Now they have the Chick-fil-A kind of brand.
Where are they at? I assume they're southern?
Mainly around Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. We got to go to the Dwarf House.
So
why is it...
What's that?
So I see that it's a really confusing restaurant at this point because it has Chick-fil-A on two sides, but then it has Dwarf House in the middle.
Yeah, it's kind of like a legacy thing.
Is it like Carl's Jr. and the Green Burrito? You can go to Chick-fil-A, or you can walk into the back and go into the Dwarf House and get a burger?
I think they just serve Chick-fil-A stuff, too, but I think they also serve other stuff, is my understanding. I think this guy just wanted to keep it. And actually, one of the weird things about this guy is when he passed the company on down to his kids when he was dying, was that the company could never go public. So Chick-fil-A, unless they sell the company, will always be a privately held company. So, can you keep up the next image, please?
I don't want to.
You don't want to?
I want to talk about this great man a little longer.
Ahead.
No, that's fine.
So, TJ, the greater danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but it is too low and we reach it.
Man, oh. I thought Michelangelo just liked eating pizza and stuff. I thought he was just a dude, bro. I didn't know he was so philosophical-like, you know?
Cowabunga!
I always thought that Leonardo was the thinker.
No, dude. Remember that episode where Michelangelo and fucking Donatello were sitting in the fucking sewer smoking some green?
Discussing dialectics.
Yeah, and Michelangelo was just like all like, you know, dude, the greater danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it's too low and we reach it. And then Donatello was like, word.
Wow, that's deep.
So, TJ, we know why I have this quote today. You know how this quote's on the screen. We're talking about this. Do you know why, TJ?
Because it encapsulates you, Scotty. Wow, and your TJ. Low reach.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Meanwhile, I have aspirations of world conquest.
You have autism?
Yeah.
That is true. Or Asperger's? I'm sorry, man. You're good.
Aspergerations.
Aspergerations, bro. That's the new name of... That's going to be... Every time I do like a stream, people are like, you're doing a Hideology. I'm like, Hideology is really Paul's thing. I'm going to start calling mine Aspergerations.
I like it.
So, TJ, many men...
That's a sexy motherfucker, man.
Many men, TJ, would have been content... You know, they would have been content telling a greasy spoon, made a living.
Yeah.
But visionaries, TJ, they aim higher.
Visionaries got a vision, bro.
This is the legend of the chicken sandwich, TJ.
This chicken sandwich is beautiful.
The invention...
Yeah, I really want to cry looking at it.
The invention, this is in quotes because it's disputed, but this is if you want to believe the mythology that's been passed down for generations and eons. The invention of the chicken sandwich began as a solution to an interesting problem.
How can I eat chicken but in sandwich form?
No, TJ, it's not that simple.
Okay.
In the early 1960s, Truett Cathy, who is, as we know, we saw before, is the founder of Chick-fil-A.
The greatest man ever lived, yeah.
One of them, definitely, was running a successful restaurant called the Dwarf Grill in the Atlanta suburb of Hapeville, Georgia, when he was approached with an offer. A local poultry supplier had been tasked by an airline to provide a boneless, skinless chicken breast that would fit into plastic trays of in-flight meals.
Uh-huh.
The supplier met the challenge, but ended up with quite a few chicken breast pieces that didn't meet the airline size requirements. So... The supplier asked Cathy if he could use them. Determined not to let the opportunity pass him by, Cathy accepted the offer.
So it was like leftovers from airplane food?
they had a lot of chicken left.
Gross.
They had a lot of chicken left.
Like, what? Wait a minute. What? How low quality did these pieces have to not be served as airplane food?
Well, they were too big. Oh, that was the problem. They were too big.
Too big and plump and juicy for the airplane?
And I'm assuming the airline was probably Delta Airlines, because that's the big airline in that area. Well, it actually started in New Orleans, though, but moved to Atlanta. So this is an
traitors!
This is an Eureka moment.
Eureka! I can sell discarded chicken pieces in sandwich form to rubes!
How dare you say that, TJ? Because it's not that simple.
Okay. Sorry, I keep oversimplifying. I keep too reductionist
TJ,
in my thinking. Sorry.
It took innovation.
Yeah.
So Cathy had considered adding chicken to the menu at the Dwarf Grill before, but the problem was it took too damn long. The time-crunched lunch patrons, mostly shift workers at the nearby Ford plant and Delta Airline employees, it just took too long. They can't wait. They want their burger. They want, like, cook it, get out of there.
Give me that burger. Give me that fucking burger. Now.
So he had to come up with a new way to cook it. He's like, how can I cook this quick enough to sell this chicken to these people?
Fry that son of a bitch.
So Cathy thought back to his mother's method of cooking chicken, in which she would cover the pan with a heavy top to simulate a pressure cooker.
Hell yeah.
When Cathy tried it in his own restaurant, he found the chicken cooked faster while remaining tender. So he purchased a commercial pressure cooker that could cook a juicy, tender, boneless chicken breast from start to finish in just under 4 minutes.
Sick.
That's pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you have to be quick.
For chicken.
I mean, you got these guys that have to go back to the factory.
But a pressure cooker doesn't put that nice, crispy fucking shit on it.
Oh, no, that's not where it ends either. So the cooker itself is only part of what made the chicken unique. Chick-fil-A uses only peanut oil. And at the time, obviously, peanut oil and today is more expensive than vegetable oil. But hey, they wanted the best. And I have to agree, if I want to fry something, I use peanut oil.
Yeah, you got to fucking use that peanut oil, bitch.
Especially on poultry. Like, it's way better than vegetable oil or canola.
Well, recently I fried two turkeys this year. I did one for Thanksgiving and one for Christmas. And we used peanut oil, and it turned out fucking great. So I gotta agree with him. He was onto something. So now we have to get to the secret breading recipe. When Kathy first started developing his chicken recipe, he experimented with many different seasonings and breadings, always searching for the perfect combination. How dare you cough during my fucking segment,
sorry,
TJ?
Man.
How dare you? Apologize, TJ.
I am sorry.
Apologize to the chicken
sandwich.
Thank you, TJ. Each time, he would ask his customers to taste it and offer feedback until he finally developed the perfect mixture of spices, which was more than 20 after in all. There's actually 20 spices in each Chick-fil-A sandwich.
It seems like a little overkill.
I don't know.
I think the results speak for themselves.
Do they?
I don't know. Is it time to eat one of these fucking chicken sandwiches?
God damn it.
Son of a bitch.
Come on, TJ. Don't change it again.
All right.
Once Kathy had his perfectly seasoned chicken breast, he needed to find the best way to serve it.
Hell yeah.
His decision to put the smaller cut of meat between two buttered buns.
Butter them buns, boy.
Yeah, butter your buns, boy. And serve it as a sandwich was a game changer. But it wasn't complete. Not yet, TJ. Not yet.
What else has
when
to happen?
He finally added two dill pickle slices. His customer said was the right touch. After countless experiments in the Dwarf Grill, TJ, Kathy knew he had the perfect sandwich. We got his final round of feedback from his customers. We like it. Don't fucking change it. Don't. Fucking God.
What?
The camera fell when I hit the table.
Oh, shit.
The camera fell.
I'll switch over to this view and see it. There you go.
Well, isn't it ironic?
Don't you think?
That's
Don't
so ironic, think? Guys. This is an ironic episode.
TJ, this is actually the first Chick-fil-A.
The very first Chick-fil-A ever, huh?
Not a black person in sight, man. What's going on at this Chick-fil-A?
This is
What's going on here.
This is Atlanta in the what, 60s?
This is in 1967. So in 1967,
black people weren't allowed in this Chick-fil-A.
2 years after finally perfecting this chicken recipe, Kathy was ready to open a restaurant based purely on the sandwich. The first location was in Atlanta's Greenbrier Mall and was only 384 square feet. As you can see, it's not that
big.
It's a tiny little place. And during the 70s and early 80s, the chain expanded by opening new locations in suburban malls food courts. So like, the first one I ever went to, and I think TJ went to, was in the Slidell
Mall.
Yeah,
it was in a food court.
The Moo.
You think it was in the Moo.
You think of the marketing now.
Moo.
The cows.
Eat more chicken.
So let's actually look at this 1980s ad for Chick-fil-A.
80s ad for Chick-fil-A.
You're at the fucking mall.
You're at the mall. Your haircut sucks.
Bitches aren't fat enough to be Chick-fil-A models. These need to be two giant fat bitches.
Advertising exists in its own reality.
Waddling through the mall.
Decisions big, decisions small.
Wait, there really is a lame song in
there
it?
Yes.
that's why I was thinking that stupid shit.
Shopping spree can be such fun, a happy time for everyone. A special feeling when you try.
I mean, this is a pretty monumental shopping trip.
I've yet to see like chicken.
Wait a minute, wait. Hold on.
It's coming.
Hold on. I need to go back.
Okay.
I want to fucking really soak in what's going on here. So they're at the mall.
At first,
it just seems like they're just two women at the mall. They're looking at some, like, glasses and shit.
Let's look at this glassware. Let's get a photo shoot done. Oh, we look wonderful.
But then all of a sudden, one's getting married and shit. Like, they're trying on wedding dresses now.
You look beautiful. You're going to be a beautiful bride. Oh, Barbara.
Like that old bitch in the back who's just like,
yeah, you look great.
You look good. Whatever.
That'll be $99.
Are these broads getting married?
Yeah, dude. Lesbian.
Progressive.
Now, here
this
we
is
go.
A very progressive commercial. And you say, all these people say fucking Chick-fil-A's anti-LGBTQIA+. No. One of their very first ads back in 1980 featured a lesbian couple.
No one's ever said that about Chick-fil-A. How dare you say that?
Taste worth shopping for. Hey, Chick-fil-A.
today. Oh, so beautiful. Chicken, we're famous for. Makes you want to cry, doesn't it? Look at that bun. Chick-fil-A, the good taste has you
coming back for more. They're definitely lesbians.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not
no
even,
two women spend that much time together alone.
I mean, two women with short haircuts
sitting all close to
each
other.
I mean,
other
look
shit.
At how they're looking at each other. Look, I mean, just look at the look at their fucking. They're giving
look,
me the fucking
look, TJ,
eyes there.
It, look at the body brought, language.
It, like, look at that.
It brought people together, TJ.
You mean to tell me them women ain't fucking after she chowed down on that Chick-fil-A, she could be munching some fucking carpet,
Sizzle
bro?
Me timbers.
Whoa, guys.
Chick-fil-A, hey.
Wait, they got their legs crossed over each other.
Damn, dude.
Come on. These bitches are scissoring after they finish this sandwich.
They're practically scissoring right there in the fucking mall, dude. That's at least pre-scissoring warm-up fucking shit going on.
Hey, Chick-fil-A.
This is beautiful. Worth shopping
for. Such a beautiful song.
Lesbian approved. I like it.
I mean, TJ, this company...
I gotta say, great fucking ad. Great ad, dude.
Had nothing to do with anything.
Yes, it did.
So from the humble beginnings of the Dwarf Girl...
It's about how Chick-fil-A brings us together as a people, Paul.
Oh, okay.
Chick-fil-A is love. Chick-fil-A is commerce. Chick-fil-A is life,
I mean,
Paul.
Chick-fil-A is at the center of your mall experience. I mean, 1980, the mall was important, dude.
It's worth shopping for. It's like... Why even do you want to go to the mall? Do we really want to deal with all that hassle?
No.
Chick-fil-A is up in there. All right, let's
but
go.
But they said that the mall was fun.
No, it's not. Man, it's only fun because so Chick-fil-A is there.
It's a shit ad then. The mall sucks.
The mall's great, Paul.
I can't believe you'd say that, Paul. You're normally such an optimist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess mm-hmm. there must be something wrong with this ad if it was able to turn Paul's countenance so fucking dour all of a sudden when... Usually, he's just a ray of sunshine and conviviality.
That's perfect. That's the perfect description of me.
Can we eat the chicken sandwich now?
No, TJ.
God damn you. What more do we have to do?
So, TJ...
Gotta let those chicken sandwiches get a little colder.
How dare you, TJ? How dare you put the Chick-fil-A's chicken sandwich picture back on the screen? Ugh. How dare you put this pretender on the screen?
All right.
So, in the present, TJ... The company operates more than 2,300 restaurants, primarily in the U.S., in 47 states, and plans for a 48th state, a new location in Hawaii.
Cool.
Obviously, Chick-fil-A has rolled out breakfast. I mean, Chick-fil-A has become a titan based on this sandwich,
an
TJ.
American institution.
So, TJ, I think it's now time for us to sample our first
yes!
sandwich.
Fucking finally.
Oh.
Chicken.
I mean, I don't know why we're eating the best one first. Because this is definitely...
Because it's the original.
This is the winner. And I'm telling everybody, because I want to be scientific about this, I usually don't get pickles on my Chick-fil-A's. But I'm going to eat this one just as is.
And we have one of the spicy varieties.
Do we have any mayonnaise?
No, we don't have mayonnaise. You get to eat the chicken sandwich just how it fucking is.
Fine.
This is how it comes.
So you'll notice this one, TJ, there's no actual... The spices are interwoven with the sandwich, TJ.
Uh-huh. Yep.
No interwoven? Salt.
Interwoven into the sandwich.
Oh.
Well, he's trying to draw a contrast between this and the Popeye sandwich where the spiciness comes from the sauce.
The actual spice is from the filet.
That's a good piece of chicken.
Yeah, this is why this one wins for me. Because it's got the perfect amount of afterburn. Doesn't hurt to eat it. It's not like so spicy. You're like, whoa. But
it's got that strong, like, back of the throat pepper taste.
Yeah. It's like hits you right in the back of the throat and it hangs around while you're eating the sandwich. Man, I don't know how any of these other sandwiches are even going to compare.
How do you guys rate the bun on this one?
I think the bun is what it needs to be. It doesn't really draw too much attention. It's soft, it's buttery.
The softness is good. I got to be honest with you, though. I think they could up their bun game.
I think they could, too.
I think that
it's a little bit chewy.
I think it's just... I think it's really just there as a barrier. Like, it's like the same thing as, like, a control, you know? Like, it's just there to give you a handle on the chicken without you having to touch the greasy chicken. I think it's just trying to be as minimal as possible.
I think I'd appreciate, like, a little toasted crispness on the bun. Because it's kind of a floppy bun. I mean, hold on. Let's be scientific about this. I mean, look at this bun.
Yeah.
I pulled it off here. It's not real toasted. There's no, like, on the inside of it, it's not toasted at all. It's just kind of gummy on the inside, on the outside.
We have to also, too, in our minds, like, realize that these have been, like, sitting in a bag, too.
Hey, shut up. No. We're putting that aside. That is not the sandwich's fault.
I know. I'm just, that's what I'm saying, is like, you know.
But I don't think these buns were crisp and fluffy.
No, they weren't.
You know, 20 minutes ago.
No, they weren't. I mean, this is what a Chick-fil-A bun is.
This is a Chick-fil-A bun. And it's probably my least favorite thing about the sandwich, honestly.
I mean, yeah. Like, honestly, after eating that, you get the. I feel like it's not too much meat. It's not too little meat. The pickles add a nice little kick to it. The spice is right. The levels are pretty much perfect. Like Paul said, it's not going to be too spicy for most people. It's not going to be too bland for most people.
Let me just ask you, do you guys want to, like, rate these, like, number-wise? Like, 1 to 10 kind of thing, or?
I don't know. I mean, if you want to put a rating on it.
Or do, like, a letter grade, or you just want to be, like, yeah, this is, you just want to, like, kind of.
I would say.
Be more informal about it.
Let's kind of just do, like, the Pepsi challenge. We'll eat them all, and then we'll think. So, I mean. Our impressions of this thing are overall very positive. It's a pretty damn good chicken sandwich.
Yep. I mean, it's definitely a chicken sandwich where...
You'd want to eat it again.
Of course. But the breast is not only the star, it's really the only reason to have a dish. Yeah. You know what I mean?
The bun is...
Simple-ass toppings.
Yeah, the bun is kind of an afterthought. Like TD said, it's just...
No sauces, really, to speak of on the sandwich either.
Now, they
which
do
is
have,
strange.
Yeah, they do have a deluxe one, but I was like, let's just... I want people that... Because really, the chicken's the star here.
Mm-hmm.
Get it as it comes, yeah.
Yeah, get it as it comes.
And then we got the spicy variety. So the non-spicy variety is also good. It's just not as good.
Pretty good.
But, yeah, pretty good sandwich.
I'm not a fan of the pickle.
I'm a big fan of the pickle, but, you know, pickles are divisive food.
I could do without the goddamn pickle.
I think I think the pickle actually adds a lot more to the regular sandwich than it does to the spicy. With the spicy one, it doesn't really seem like it's necessary as much, but I don't mind its presence.
So, TJ.
Yeah.
Pull the next image for us, please. So, people have tried to challenge the dominance of Chick-fil-A.
Wait a minute. Just as marketing imagery, like, who the fuck looks at this and wants this?
I got to be honest with you. This looks a lot more like the chicken sandwich from the commercial. I don't think Chick-fil-A has always been as plump, because in that commercial, they were doing like a flatter patty.
Yeah, that's true.
So, who knows?
Try the taste that makes you say, my chicken's McChicken.
My chicken's McChicken. My chicken's McChicken.
So this is McDonald's pitiful attempt to take on Chick-fil-A with your first bite. You'll know why everybody's saying, my chicken's McChicken, our McChicken sandwich.
Can I just say really quick?
Go ahead.
That's a terrible catchphrase for your food item.
And this item did not last very long.
Am not surprised.
I think it lasted about a year or two before it was unceremoniously pulled.
Wait a minute. They still serve the McChicken.
Yeah, but it was brought back. They've gone back and forth. This is like their first kind of like foray, because like they saw like, yeah, people are kind of getting more into this chicken thing. I think this actually came out in 1980.
Okay.
A lot of the 80s.
So this is around the same time as that commercial we saw with the two lesbians.
Yes. Well, TJ, I can't confirm they're lesbians.
Oh, I mean, it was confirmed by the commercial.
I mean, I can't. Well, TJ, I can't confirm.
So I think they need to re-embrace their proud LGBTQIA+ heritage, man.
For nearly 30 years, TJ.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A's dominance.
Dominant. Unquestioned. Dominance.
Unquestioned. I mean, like, who else? Name another chicken sandwich at that time period, TJ, that even, like, look, Burger King tried. We didn't bother pulling them. I mean, McDonald's was the biggest, fast food company. Look, this is all they could offer. This is it. Does this look more appealing to you? Look at that nasty fucking, just the sesame seed bun. It just looks like a terrible bun.
It just looks like a hamburger. I mean, it's a hamburger bun.
Yeah, well, there's some weird mayonnaise or ranch or something on it. Is there that lettuce on there? I don't want that lettuce on there. Is there some pickles on there, maybe? No.
I don't know, man. I think you guys are being a little too hard on that chicken sandwich. It looks like it'd be a tasty bite.
This here?
Yeah. Why not?
Eh.
Ugh.
I don't know. It looks too uniform. I feel like a chicken patty should be
lumpy,
weird,
muscly.
No, not must. I mean, you know, but like, it, you know, it doesn't, it shouldn't conform to some perfectly round disc the way a burger does. Because that just lets you know that they fucking have, like, altered it. I want it to have the natural contours of a piece of chicken.
So, TJ, it would take nearly 30 years
for a true
opponent to arise. So, originally, Wendy's only had two kinds of chicken sandwiches, fried and grilled. The spicy chicken sandwich started out as a promotional sandwich and later was put on the menu full-time in 1996.
Because it was so fucking popular.
Because of its popularity and how much it was, and how it was much simpler to make compared to most promotional sandwiches. So it's basically like they kind of looked at it and like, this is pretty fucking easy to make. All I got to do is put a fried chicken, spicy fried chicken breast on there. And Woody's does the same thing that Chick-fil-A does. The spices are actually on the meat.
Right.
It's not a topping.
Right.
So, TJ, this is actually how Wendy's kind of rolled it out. So we have an ad.
I remember this ad, too. I remember this commercial from childhood.
It was Dave in Red.
Let's take a look.
Welcome, Dave. Been a long time.
Sure has, Red.
You've got a spicy chicken sandwich. But here, try this.
Not bad.
Water?
No, thanks.
Ooh.
Now try a Wendy's spicy chicken.
Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich is a whole breast filet seasoned with Dave's own blend of pepper and spices. It's one very delicious, very spicy sandwich.
Please.
Try Wendy's.
Bringing the heat. Dave was bringing the heat.
You can't fuck with Dave.
Man, Dave was a gangster.
Then he was. Red's like, Red's like, Red had no chance.
Grabbing his throat, choking on them spices.
Oh, I can't take it. Some water, please. Your spicy chicken's too spicy. Oh, God, you beat me. Once again, Dave, you've show divorce me by my own patois.
Dave!
Why are you so much better than me, Dave?
Because my ingredients are fresh.
Fresh ingredients.
Now, TJ.
Yeah.
Enter the true challenger. The first of its name and first of its kind. The Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich. Can it dethrone the champ?
Can it? Yeah, can it usurp?
Now, I got to tell you, pound for pound... This one's probably my personal favorite.
It is a good sandwich.
The Wendy's spicy chicken.
A lot different, as you'll see. We have lettuce, we have tomato, we have mayonnaise.
There's more stuff on it, that's for sure.
The bun is a little soggy, too, so I could say
The bun is pretty comparable
flat patty. Look right here. You know, it's definitely bigger than the Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Yeah, that's a bigger piece
but
of
maybe
chicken.
Maybe it's more just flattened, but I think it's a little bit bigger.
I feel like there's a lot more of a variance, though, in their patties compared to a Chick-fil-A one. Like
definitely,
sometimes I've gotten some pretty small ones.
This is definitely drier.
Yeah. It's not as juicy.
Hmm.
I've never eaten these back-to-back before, and I gotta say, it's not only not as juicy, it's not as spicy either.
Yeah, no. I'm not getting that peppery feeling, but I'm not really getting much of anything. It almost tastes like just watery. It tastes like kind of just like bland in comparison.
And Wendy's honestly was throwing shade and saying, like, you guys are fine over as number two. I mean, it feels like Wendy's solidly a number two or number three.
Yeah, this doesn't have, like, eating the back-to-back like that, like, I can say the fucking Chick-fil-A one is... I have a bite left of my Chick-fil-A one, so let me just fucking do a direct back-to-back comparison here. So, I just took a bite of that.
Might want to leave a little bit for the Popeyes.
Yeah,
Chick-fil-A is... Because
I kind of did that, too.
I've got another Chick-fil-A bite, too.
Yeah.
Let's try this back-to-back situation.
Yeah, let's do back-to-back.
The Chick-fil-A sandwich, far and away, is better.
I agree with you.
This Wendy's one, it's not bad, but... Like, in comparison, it's really bland.
Oh, dude, no, man. The Chick-fil-A one. You know what it's like? It's like seeing a shitty cover band of Pink Floyd, or actually seeing Pink Floyd. You know what I mean? It's like...
I will tell you, though, I do appreciate the extra toppings on the Wendy's spicy chicken. I like the tomato. I'm a fan of a nice slice of tomato on my shit.
Yeah, it's not bad.
If you get a tomato on a Chick-fil-A sandwich now... You know, that's a whole different ballgame.
You know, despite this piece of chicken being bigger, it feels less juicy, and the juice that's in it doesn't really taste like chicken flavored. It almost just tastes like water.
Is Chick-fil-A still cooking all of their chicken from raw in the stores, or are they getting these bags of, like, because I know Wendy's, or at least when I worked at Wendy's, my first job was at Wendy's. I got hired at 16, and... It was frozen. Like, they came in these big bags pre-cooked, and you drop it in the deep fryer to kind of, like, reheat it and cook it and crisp it up a little bit.
I believe, I don't know this for certain, but it, to my knowledge, Chick-fil-A still does. I know all Chick-fil-A's make their own pickles.
I think Wendy's makes a big deal about their shit being fresh.
But that's for their burgers.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that chicken, if these chicken maybe sandwich patties are frozen or not.
Well, the way they do that is they refrigerate it.
No, they are. I cooked them.
Well, I know, but I'm saying I don't know if they might have changed it since those days or whatever.
Maybe.
But,
I mean,
well, doesn't really
it's
sound
probably
like
frozen.
It.
It's probably frozen. If we're going to be honest, it's probably going to be frozen.
I'm getting a bunch of juice and shit falling out of this sandwich, too, but it's not from the chicken. It's all from the topping.
It's from the veggies.
I need another damn drink.
It's from the veggies. Eh. For sure.
I'm drankless.
I mean, you know, it'll do in a pinch, but I would say pound for pound, the Chick-fil-A, to me, is kicking its ass.
I think I like the fucking Wendy's bun slightly better than the Chick-fil-A.
It is a little bit more robust of a bun, but it's almost like in the same kind of category of like sogginess and kind of thinness.
Yeah, I think I prefer the bun on this one. I definitely prefer the toppings on this one. But, I mean, on the chicken sandwich, the star of the show is the fucking chicken.
Yeah, and that's where it's, I mean.
Dude, the Chick-fil-A one kicks me right in the fucking teeth.
Yeah, this one just kind of, like, tickles you.
Kicks me right in the fucking mouth.
Ain't that a kick in the mouth?
Yeah, I got to say, for me, there's no contest here.
Yeah, I mean, so far, I don't think it's. And, I mean, I'll be honest with you. When I grabbed the Wendy's ones, I was kind of just like, oh, we got it delivered, whatever. I wasn't expecting Wendy's to come out on top. I mean, it's a valiant effort. I mean, it's definitely a solid effort.
It's an edible chicken sandwich.
Oh, man, no, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, look,
yeah,
I'm
not saying it's bad.
I get it at Wendy's, but, you know, if there's a Wendy's next to a Chick-fil-A and I'm craving a chicken sandwich, unless it's Sunday, I know where I'm going. I'm going to fucking Chick-fil-A.
And that is a big drawback of Chick-fil-A. A lot of people do not like that about Chick-fil-A. I mean, some people actually do appreciate it because, hey, everyone gets the
day off. I understand
it's
religious stuff, too, and, you know. Some people really want to respect Jesus by not selling a chicken sandwich on the Sabbath or whatever the fuck.
So, I mean, this sandwich has been around for a while. Chick-fil-A's dominance has just continued to grow. I mean, it just seems like this is a juggernaut. Nothing can stop this sandwich.
Nothing can stop the juggernaut.
Until recently, TJ. Until very recently.
Uh-oh. A new challenger enters the arena.
Birth of Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Done. Done. Done.
I mean,
as we all know,
if you're part of American popular culture, chicken sandwich is having a fucking moment. It's having its fucking time in the sun. This is a sandwich. This is the fucking fast food item everyone's been talking about. Like, you know, 10 years ago, it was the double down. Everyone couldn't shut up about that. Now everyone can't shut
fuck
up
the
about
the double down. That was just a gimmick.
I agree with you there, but that was whatever everyone was talking about, TJ.
I got you.
So,
the double down does not have a legacy other than just like, remember that time we were all idiots and fucking.
I thought this would be good. Yeah. So, Chick-fil-A, which became the third largest chain in the U.S. by sales in 2018, despite having far fewer locations than most of its rivals, has basically had incredible success just based on a chicken sandwich. I mean, that's what it's known for. I mean, they have other items, but that's what people are going there for. So, Jose Sil, the CEO of Restaurant Brands International, the parent company of Popeyes, Burger King, and Tim Hortons, said the company noticed a growing sales of boneless chicken. At Popeyes, more people were buying tenders. At Burger King, chicken sandwich sales were up.
People are becoming more like me.
Yeah,
yeah, people are more like, I don't want them bones because that reminds me I'm eating an animal.
I can't eat a bone either, you know? Like, you're getting more food for your buck.
Yeah, that bone is just wasting space.
It was time, executives decided, for Popeyes to have a chicken sandwich all of its own.
So this is shocking to me that they didn't before.
It really is, to be honest with you, because they've been in the chicken game, you know, since the 70s. I mean, obviously, it was founded by, it's local to this area. It's the New Orleans area. Al Copeland started this restaurant.
Like, they had tenders for a long time, didn't they? They never did, like, a tender chicken sandwich where they just threw three of their tenders on a bun?
I think tenders came later.
Huh.
I think originally it was just the bone-in chicken.
I believe Popeyes had a chicken sandwich before this chicken sandwich at certain points.
I'm real unfamiliar with Popeyes.
Wasn't it like a chicken tender sandwich, though, or something?
No, I believe they had a fucking chicken sandwich before, but it wasn't nothing like this.
I don't remember it. If they did, it didn't have the
same
notoriety.
It wasn't good. It was just like whatever.
It didn't have the same notoriety, so. So this is a quote from the CEO. It's a segment within quick service that we think is growing and growing for the long term.
Well, he was right about that.
It's not just a trend here in the U.S. We think it's a growing trend in Europe. It's a growing trend in Asia and Latin America. This is a worldwide thing. This isn't just like, oh, this is a U.S. thing. Like, fried chicken is exploding around the world. I mean, like, KFC is one of the biggest, one of their biggest markets outside of the U.S. is China.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is growing rapidly.
In China, it's actually a Christmas tradition to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken because of some ad campaign they did back in the 80s.
Damn.
That married
KFC. Successful marketing right there.
Yeah, and so now KFCs are just like, there's a run on the KFCs at Christmas time in Japan because people are like, KFC equals Christmas.
China, right?
Is it China
or Japan?
It might be Japan that I'm thinking. I heard it on the radio the other day.
Really? So it's like a tradition. Well, in Japan or China.
Yep.
So some Popeyes locations started serving the sandwich early 2019, revamping locations that had new equipment, including toasters.
It's Japan.
Oh, okay, it's Japan. A few weeks later, Popeyes announced it was launching the chicken sandwich at locations all across the U.S. Overall, the launch on August 12, 2019 was a standard affair. The chain debuted at a sandwich restaurant called Sweet Dixie Kitchen. So this is something actually weird about this. There's something that there's like a kind of weird wrinkle in the story about Sweet Dixie Kitchen.
Okay.
So it's a small southern-themed restaurant in Long Beach, California that became a national media fixation, like for its, you know, 15 minutes of fame. When the owner got busted for reheating Popeye's fried chicken tenders and serving them to customers as part of a chicken and waffle special without disclosing the origin of the first
ingredient. Oh, man, dude, that's awesome. That guy is fucking...
Yeah. And now, and then, of course, in a bizarre...
He's just selling reheated Popeye's, yes. Man. I love it.
And in a bizarre marketing twist, but very savvy, Popeye's is teaming up with, and they call this the Popeye's Gate Restaurant. To help launch the new product. So this sandwich actually launched at the restaurant that basically stole Popeye's.
So wait a minute. Hold up. Let me get this story straight, right? So this restaurant got caught reselling Popeye's chicken.
As part of its chicken and waffle special.
And then Popeye's is like, all right, you want to sell our shit? Fine. We'll use you as a test store.
It's actually not in the research I pulled, but I actually read some articles about this, and the owner thought when Popeye's was calling, they're like, okay, Popeye's wants to sue me.
Popeye's going to fucking sue us.
They're going to sue the shit out of us.
Like, yeah.
And they're like, hey, we actually want to launch our chicken sandwich at your restaurant. Kind of like a funny marketing thing.
Okay.
And it's hard to argue whoever's doing the marketing for Popeye's right now is not doing a brilliant job. I mean, that's kind of an aside. And when that sandwich launched, man... People fucking lost their minds. They
chicken
loved it.
Mageddon.
So, TJ, you want to hear about the tweet that started the sandwich wars?
All right, is this it?
So this is Chick-fil-A's little thing, and Chick-fil-A has a pretty, you know, like, positive, you know, happy kind of, you know, Twitter presence. Bun plus chicken plus pickles equals all the love for the original. So it's kind of saying we're the original
sandwich. We're the original sandwich. Here's our owner making it a million years ago. Back in the fucking Paleolithic era and shit, you know? Here we go.
When the pyramids were being built. The first chicken sandwich.
Popeyes
made.
Is just like, y'all good?
80.
Is that shade?
Yeah.
Yes. 85,000 retweets. 320,000 likes.
Popeyes is basically, it's just like, it's like a fucking wellness check. Like, oh, you doing
y'all
all
good?
Right, buddy?
How you feeling?
Seem
y'all right?
Like, seem like you ain't feeling too good.
Well, at that point, Popeyes knows Chick-fil-A is rattled, dude. Chick-fil-A, for the first time. In its existence, it's like they're looking at a credible competitor, and they know it. They know it. They can't just sit back and go, oh, we're Chick-fil-A.
Dude, check it out. Popeye's chicken fucking follows me, dude.
Whoa, TJ.
Can't say that about no fucking...
What?
Yeah.
Damn.
I am followed by Popeye's, bitch.
Dude, Popeye's respects you, TJ.
Popeye's is showing me the proper respect. That's another extra point on your sandwich, Popeye's.
Is Chick-fil-A following you, TJ?
Nope.
You probably got followed because you were sucking this chicken sandwich's dick.
Oh, you goddamn right I was. You goddamn right.
Let's take a look at some social media reactions, TJ. So click the image there.
What is this?
Well, this is awkward. And this is Chick-fil-A. We're actually closed on National Sandwich Day. We recently sent an email that included a message about National Sandwich Day, which naturally we were very excited about. We didn't realize it falls on Sunday when we're closed. We apologize for the confusion and hope to see you soon, Monday through Saturday.
Yeah, that's a misstep.
Oh, Popeyes is like, seriously? No.
That's a
face y'all good?
Plant.
Not quite as much
not as much popularity, but...
But hey, they try. They gotta get the little jabs in where they can. How did some consumers react to this, TJ?
I don't know. How did they react?
Let's go look.
Oh, here's one.
So this is me when I tried the new Popeye sandwich, and it's Simba and Mufasa. And this is after Mufasa has been killed. And Mufasa's face now has the Chick-fil-A logo on it.
So they're saying that, like, the Chick-fil-A brand got trampled by a herd of wildebeests, basically.
Yeah.
In this.
Yeah.
You can scroll down for some more, TJ.
Okay.
It's a kid jumping. That's Popeye's. Caught that kid. Loves him. Or loves her. Okay, come on, jump, Chick-fil-A kid. Oh, no! Crash and burn!
Wow.
Popeye's knocking out Chick-fil-A. Just two boxers, one just walking away. And people just love this, dude. They cannot get enough of the fact that fucking Popeye's is just raping Chick-fil-A.
Stop playing. Popeye's chicken makes Chick-fil-A sandwich weak as hell. I'll try again and see, but Popeye's won't lose. Go to Popeye's and get you a two-piece with a delicious biscuit and side of Cajun fries. If I could afford Popeye's every day, I probably would. Lol.
Damn, dude. That dude's saying, like, I'm never, like, you know, pretty much never going to go to Chick-fil-A.
I'm an Chick-fil-A unpaid advertiser for Popeye's now.
Chick-fil-A is dead to me, bitch.
I'm participating in a viral marketing campaign for a company that will benefit me absolutely zero.
I think for myself.
Oh, it's going to fucking benefit you.
Oh, and I guess, hey, TJ, Julian Castro formally announced at the end of his campaign.
Oh, what a tragedy.
So sad. All right, guys, we fucking talked
What's
it up
this?
Enough. We're not ready.
More?
We're going to get that in a minute. I think it's time to fucking sample the Challenger.
Finally.
This is the only one of the three that I have not tried. I have yet to...
I like how Scotty arranges this show so it spends the most time in the bag getting soggy
Whoa.
And stuff.
And I got to say, right off tops, before I even unwrap it,
a
this
hefty
is...
hefty sandwich.
This is the heftiest of the three sandwiches. Why is it so hefty? I do see that Popeye's
Oh,
done,
my goodness.
Popeye's done ripped off the Chick-fil-A heated bag, though.
Yeah.
Apparently, Chick-fil-A was good at that.
Easily the fattiest sandwich.
Whoa.
This is the fucking... This sandwich is huge.
This is like eating a brick. What is this? Look at this thing. Look at that thing. What do I got? All right. Here we go. Is this a spicy one?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Hmm. Hmm.
Hmm. Hmm.
Juicy.
Mm-hmm. It's got a crispiness.
The bun is definitely the fattiest bun.
Yeah, the bun game on this one is on point. I'll give it that already off the top. Better bun. But.
Not as spicy.
Is it a better bite? Like, that's the question. There's a little, it's got a little kick to it, but it's not, it doesn't.
The spice
that.
Doesn't really start kicking in until the second or third bite in this one. The Chick-fil-A one, you get the spice right at the front.
Mm-hmm.
This one, it builds when you start eating the sandwich. I'm starting to feel it in the back of my throat now, but it doesn't hit you as hard right out the gate with it.
Hmm. I don't know, man. It's a tough sell for me.
I really like the crispiness of the chicken, which has always been one of the things that attracted me to Popeye's chicken in the first place. Mm.
It's got that breading on it. It's like super crispy by the deep fryer.
This is tough. Let me go back to my Chick-fil-A sandwich here.
Yeah, I just did that.
Let me get a little palate cleanse in between.
A little palate cleanse.
Yeah.
Definitely the biggest sandwich here for sure.
I mean, bigger is not necessarily better, but I won't argue with that.
But
it's the fattiest
the
sandwich.
The seasoning, I don't know.
Uh-oh. I got a little chicken excrement on my beard.
Load beard, Paul.
Oh, thank you. Wow. It's the first one I've needed a sandwich or a napkin for, honestly.
Oh, man. This is tough.
Mm.
I mean, I know it doesn't make much of a difference to you guys because
I don't
think either of you are pickle. Are you a pickle guy, Scotty?
I don't really care one way or the other about them. If they're on a sandwich, I'll eat it.
But... I want to just say that for me as a guy who likes pickles, the pickles on the Popeye's sandwich are definitely way better.
I'll be honest with you, it looks like tears are welling up in your eyes of joy.
Dude, maybe I haven't gotten a
like,
big bite
like
of a pickle
yet. There's like a misty little kind of like glistening in your eyes, TJ. Like, I see it, dude. It's like you're like emotionally moved by this sandwich.
I mean, dude, I really am.
You're like, oh my God, man.
Don't do that to me, man. Don't do it.
Dude, it's true. I start off as a joke, and he's like, okay, man, I don't know. But keep it together, man. Gotta keep it together. So it's beautiful, man. Oh, man, I love the sandwich.
Dude, I'm honestly, though, like, the fucking Chick-fil-A sandwich is really good.
I think it's a good sandwich.
I felt like when I was going to eat these two sandwiches side by side, like, I really thought Wendy's sandwich would be more competitive, and I really thought that, like, the Popeye sandwich was going to totally destroy the Chick-fil-A sandwich in my mind, but eating them back to back, I say they're both really good sandwiches, but for different reasons, and I'm really not sure which one I want to side with.
It's tough.
I think that... Here's the hard part about it. They're very different sandwiches in their approach to what makes them spicy. Popeye's, and the only difference with the non-spicy version of this is the sauce.
That's true.
If you really want
the
like,
spiciness is not,
I think,
in
but if
the
you feel
this,
I mean, look, love that chicken. You have this, you hold this sandwich has like a weight to it. If you want like this big, hearty kind of meal that's like just a sandwich, this is the sandwich you're probably going to want. But if you want to, I think the flavor in the Chick-fil-A sandwich overall is just more, it's just synchronized. It's like every bite there just has that consistent flavor profile. With this, you're not getting that. You're kind of getting some bites are just kind of, they're not really spicy. And some
I switched back and forth a couple of times on these, taking a bite for bite. And I got to say that I there's a true winner in my mind. There's a pretty clear winner in my mind. I didn't even try the Wendy's sandwich again because I knew it wasn't going to work.
No, the Wendy's one, it ain't even a contender.
It's a step down from both of these in almost every way.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. It's definitely a solid third.
All right. Well, I'm ready to make my verdict, and I don't think it's going to be a surprise to anybody.
Okay, TJ?
I do agree that the Chick-fil-A sandwich has a more consistent fucking flavor profile, and I do like the blend of spices they put on it, but this Popeye sandwich, one, I love the fucking crispiness of it. I love the fucking sauce they got on it. I like that slow creeping sort of fucking spice on the sandwich, which I was hoping I was going to get from the Wendy's sandwiches. I took a few more bites, but I just never came.
Never materialized.
I love the pickle quality, and I love the fucking size of the sandwich because I just am a glutton. I'm going to give a very slight edge to the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
I mean, for me... It really, like, I have to strip away a lot of the other elements of the sandwich because, you know, the Chick-fil-A bun game, like we said, it could use some work. But is it really about the bun?
No,
it's not. Pound for pound, I think that the Chick-fil-A's got the best bite of the three in terms of immediate spicy hit, in terms of the juiciness of the chicken. It's a substantial sandwich for being the size that it is. It's a big piece of meat on there.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of found myself as I took bites of the Popeye sandwich appreciating the crispy, crunchy shit less with every bite because it really is just window dressing on the piece of meat. And I gotta go with Chick-fil-A here. I don't think Chick-fil-A has been dethroned by this either of these chicken sandwiches.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same with you. It's like, look, I've having sampled them all. Wendy's is not even worth discussing. It's just a distant third. I mean, I agree with the assessments you guys made. The only thing I would really add is that I just don't feel that... I don't like the sauce being where the spice comes from because that gives it inconsistent flavoring overall.
Yeah.
And, like, that's... Because to me, like, if I want a spicy sandwich, yeah, I get TJ what you're saying.
I should have known the Popeye's chicken sandwich couldn't get a fair hearing in this bias.
Oh, here it
fucking
comes.
Court, dude.
I like that... You're seasoning the meat. You're not just adding a sauce.
Yeah, because it's not just the breading on the Popeye or on the Chick-fil-A sandwich that has that spice. That spice is leaked down into that juicy ass chicken. So you're getting it from everywhere. Whereas I'm just getting some spicy chipotle mayo, most of which ended up in my beard. You know what I mean?
And that's inconsistent. That's an inconsistent level of spice. Now, if you, maybe, you know, if you're just looking at the originals, comparing those, maybe that's more favorable to Popeye's, if you like that. But you got to get, I think if you want the heft, if you want more, and you just want that big sandwich, then look, Popeye's the sandwich to go with.
I mean, look, the Popeye sandwich, maybe the fucking spiciness of it is not worked into the chicken, but there's plenty of other seasoning that is flavoring that chicken and making it.
No, I'm not saying
have a really nice flavor.
I'm not saying it's bland. I'm just saying that
the chicken itself would be good, even not spicy, as would the Chick-fil-A one.
Yeah,
to be fair. Yeah, I mean, I guess I can see that maybe, you know, without adding the spiciness to the chicken itself, that it makes it a less consistent.
You just
thing.
Like that. You just like,
but
the
I
breading.
Do like. I like the sauce.
What
and
about
I
the
love
breading?
The fucking breading.
So you like to? So to you,
oh,
the the breading's better.
For me, I can't. I mean, like, I love that crispiness of the Popeye's chicken sandwich. It's like probably the thing that really puts it over for me because I just love every bite of that.
So
I don't have that. Paul said he had a diminishing returns kind of thing with it. For me, it's like I want every bite to have that crispiness and like that crunch.
So, I think it's where you approach it. I think if you come in with like the chicken in mind, like if that's the star for you, which to me it is.
Well, the chicken's on any chicken sandwich, the chicken's got to be the fucking star.
Well, no, but I'm saying that. But with you, it seems like you kind of go to the bun, you kind of go to the breading, you kind of go to all these other things that's what pushes it over for you. Is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, like, you know, obviously, I mean, chicken on its own with no fucking window dressing is fucking bland. It's about how the things around the chicken are complementing the fucking chicken. Because if you just eat some unseasoned piece of chicken,
that's pretty gross.
Just whatever. It's just like it's like eating water. There's no real flavor behind that. It's about how it absorbs.
But the Popeyes
the
one has more have a more breading. Like you even have bites of that. I mean, maybe not you because you have a huge mouth. But like I'll have bites where it's like it'll kind of just be the breading. You know, will get in or some of the pickle will get in.
Yeah, I take huge bites.
So
that's never gonna happen.
So it kind of feels like there is more like more flavors going on with the Popeyes chicken.
Well, I like the fucking contrast of textures in my mouth too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think overall, yeah, but I mean, it's tough, but I would definitely have to go with the Chick-fil-A spicy chicken. I put that one on
top.
It
is what it is. I mean, if DFF has spoken, DFF has spoken. The fucking Chick-fil-A sandwich is better. But Popeyes, you're a worthy fucking contender. Tender. Like a chicken.
Maybe they
tender.
Should start throwing shade at Wendy's because they got Wendy's ass whooped.
Well, both of them, they can. I almost feel like we should have that meme where it's like the black dude and the white dude, and they're like, you know.
No.
Like, hold hands. This is like
nope.
Chick-fil-A and Popeyes.
So Chick-fil-A has no reason to hold hands with the Popeyes chicken sandwich.
Oh, they're
point.
Mortal enemies.
They've got it beat. I think that Popeyes needs to go, all right, well, we're number two, though. You know what I mean? This Wendy's sandwich is floppy and, you know, dry. Because they got it on the chicken. Like, there's no competition on the Wendy's.
So when I went to pick up these sandwiches, I went to Chick-fil-A, and Chick-fil-A is packed. And if you guys have ever been to a Chick-fil-A,
it's always packed.
I mean, unless you're going like right when it opens, right when it closes, yeah. Kind of thing. And like it's usually slammed
nonstop.
But Popeyes lately has kind of had the air of that too. So the foot traffic tracker Pacer.ai found that visits to Popeyes skyrocketed above summer baseline average by 67%. On the Tuesday that it launched, and 103% on the Wednesday after the launch.
Crazy.
Locations across the U.S. have been, at that point, began running out of sandwiches. Workers were forced to deal with angry mobs of customers looking for their chicken sandwich fix. One Popeyes employee at New York, New Jersey location decided she had enough. She told Business Insider she decided to quit, walking out in the middle of making sandwiches. The issue with Popeyes or any fast food is the treatment and the amount of pay that a worker gets, the now former employee said, adding that the added demand increased the amount of work tenfold while I still get paid next to nothing. So a lot of these employees are like, fuck this, you don't pay me enough to deal with this shit.
Right. Who can blame them?
But the woman working the counter is like 5 feet tall and is basically like...
Older.
Has basically lost all faith in humanity. It's like, if you live long enough, you see the chicken wars come. You see people come in here. They fight like animals for a damn sandwich. I remember the days when people came to Popeyes and all they'd want to know is mild or spicy, white or dark. Now a dark cloud has fallen over this business. People come here for the sandwich. Not the sandwich! Please, anything but the sandwich! Hi, we'd like two spicy chicken sandwiches. Why? Why? Damn you! All right, that'll be $13.11. Have a nice day.
That's basically what it was.
Like, it drained the
soul.
She
was so melancholy about everything.
It's drained the soul out of the people that work at Popeyes. Everyone that's Popeyes is, like, surly, disappointed with life, just, like, mad, upset, unhappy.
Hi, I'd like a Mardi Gras mustard with that, too.
Bet you would, asshole!
I mean, they're already working at a place where they get paid next to nothing, and then all of a sudden they're twice as busy as they normally are. They're working twice as hard for the same nothing paycheck.
I mean, at some locations, 60% more traffic, 100%. I mean, that's just, like, that's insane. So on August 27th, 2019, TJ, just 2 weeks after Popeyes introduced the menu item, the chain announced it was officially off the menu.
They didn't have enough. Did they underestimate demand for the sandwich?
Can you pull that up? There's actually the tweet.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, man. Sorry.
Y'all. Heart.
And the lines are crazy still till like 5 in the morning.
Had lines wrapped around all around the corner.
Oh my god, that's ridiculous.
When you get like 5 million people, 6 million people on social media talking about this sandwich is good.
Good?
What? No.
We're sold out of chicken sandwich. We sold out in 4 hours.
Basically, what happened?
Yeah, what happened
is
here?
That
how the fuck do you run out of a chicken sandwich so fucking quick as a chicken restaurant?
So there's some different ways. One worker said the issue wasn't the chicken at her location, it was a lack of buns. Popeye's executives told the Times that locations ran out of a particular cut of breast meat used to make the sandwich, and the chain would be recruiting new suppliers. So basically, when they launched this, they just had no idea this was just going to become a media and a national sensation.
Like, they're just thinking, like, yeah, we're going to do this chicken sandwich. It's going to be good. People are going to like it. But then all of a sudden, it's like, I will murder you for this chicken sandwich. Die!
What it basically says is even the most optimistic expectations the company had was, like, they were just blown away. Like, no one realized that this was going to become, like, I mean, look, there's 5.7 million views on the video we just watched on Twitter. I mean, for a chicken sandwich, just telling people, hey, guys, it'll be back in a little while, but we ain't got it right now.
I'm a little bit too fucking cynical and paranoid and jaded to believe this line that, oh, we didn't know. I think that this is just artificial scarcity.
I mean, that could
be. I mean, it's used as a marketing tactic in a number of things. Like, whenever a new fucking console is released, they always undership it so that there are people that can't get it. So it starts this fervor amongst people like, oh, fuck, man, I gotta get my PS5.
The sandwich
came out
and it was already like hugely insanely popular where people were willing to kick each other's asses for it. So I don't know why, you know, at that point you'd be like, let's artificially scarcify it when you've already.
Because look what it did.
You've already got the market.
It took it from being just something that, you know, yeah, people are going to go get this chicken sandwich and then everything's going to normalize to now like you can't have the sandwich. When's the sandwich gonna come back? You want to be the first to know when? We'll connect with us on social media. Give us your fucking email address. Give us your fucking phone number, and we'll text you as soon as you can get the sandwich. And what they've done is reached the fingers of their marketing campaign into your life in a way you probably wouldn't have if they just released a chicken sandwich that was popular.
TJ, what happened when they introduced the sandwich back? Where were you?
I was there.
You went there the day of?
Hell yeah, I did.
See what I mean?
I mean,
my chicken sandwich.
Obviously, Paul can't prove what he's saying. I mean, it's possible that.
I'll say this. I know for sure that as far as the psychology of the marketing, he's right. But I don't know that it was like a pre-planned, like artificial scarcity.
It's a theory.
I mean, based on the fucking crazy and probably unexpected level of fucking people demand for this fucking sandwich. Because, I mean, like, you introduce a chicken sandwich, you don't expect it to become like some kind of cultural phenomenon. You want that.
I mean, what sounds more like a corporation to you?
Okay.
All right, we're releasing this chicken sandwich. We've got this marketing campaign behind it. We're taking pot shots at Chick-fil-A. Let's make sure that there's more than enough for everybody to get it so it doesn't run out. Or we're introducing this chicken sandwich. Let's make sure that we start a big frenzy about it, make sure some social media people get their hands on the chicken sandwich,
and then let's take it away for a couple of months and tell everybody they just ate them all. Let them all advertise for us for a couple of months and then re-release it and get another big wad of cash.
It's hard to know.
I mean, like, I don't know, it sounds if that's the
is it possible?
Well, look,
yes.
If it was all pre-planned from the beginning, then
it was
brilliant marketing. But I don't know that it was.
Well,
there's no way it was.
There's definitely brilliant marketing regardless. So let me pull up this next article that I pulled.
I mean, the level of prescience you're attributing to Popeyes is pretty fucking out there.
Prescience?
Yes.
Prescience about what? Like, is there a prescience involved?
There's no way they could have known
like
that sandwich
basic...
was going to be that popular. There's no way.
They made sure it was with their marketing campaign
you
before
can't
it.
You can't just put a fucking big marketing campaign behind a sandwich and expect it to take on. I mean, like, how many sandwiches has McDonald's introduced with huge marketing campaigns behind them that flopped on their ass?
Yeah, but they didn't do the artificial scarcity mechanic. They didn't release the mushroom Swiss McBurger.
Yeah, but you have to
and
have,
take
well,
it away
well,
from
have to have that insane
so many
well,
people.
You have to have that insane level of popularity before you can
well,
do that,
they've
though, because otherwise
that.
No one cares.
Well, they've done that with the McRib. I mean, they can make the McRib year-round. I mean, they can always have the McRib on the menu.
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes it lands and you get the fucking cultural phenomena fucking food item, but...
You're just saying that there's no way to predict that.
But 19 times out of 20, you try to fucking put that
it's
out there.
It's
a win-win and no
situation. So if your marketing campaign doesn't work and you've not put enough out to satisfy a giant demand, then you don't run out of them.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That is true. It is a win-win.
And that's why I can't imagine that this wasn't planned from the very fucking get-go. Because even if they went the other way, they don't run out of them. They just got another chicken sandwich on the menu. They get a 10% bump or whatever from it, and they go on as a company.
Well, whatever.
But if it does work, if people do show up and make you know participate in the big social media frenzy, then we've got this artificial scarcity. You can't get it. It's sold out in your town, man.
The best thing about Cartmanland is you can't go.
Yeah.
So let's look at the aftermath of this.
So, as we said, August 27th.
The sandwich being pulled.
Popeyes, as we just saw, we out. Can't get it.
Out.
Whether you believe it or not, you know, that's up for debate, clearly. So, August 29th, a non-frivolous lawsuit. The decline began, as most things do in America, with a lawsuit. A man who spent hours driving from Popeyes to Popeyes in search of the elusive chicken sandwich filed against the fast food chain. He accused it of deceptive business practices and false advertising.
Which is exactly what this was.
Yeah. He did, however, raise one interesting point that gained some traction online. Was Popeyes deliberately withholding the sandwich as a means of stirring publicity? Oh. According to Popeyes, no. In fact, the company claimed they were overordered, expecting a lot of customers, and they had run out of surplus supplies as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, Paul, your theory has actually been put to a test. I mean, there's a lawsuit. Maybe he'll win. We don't know. I hope he does.
Paul needs to try to get on that jury.
Yeah.
Look what it's done to TJ. He was almost in tears over this fucking sandwich.
I know.
It's
a
literally
sandwich,
been psychologically
dude.
Manipulated into being an unpaid PR man for this, you know, not quite as good as fucking Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich.
And we're actually going to talk about
Popeyes
a company actually
sandwich,
tried to quantify all the free advertising Popeyes got because of this. So.
I'm more than happy to give it to him.
So September 3rd, 2019.
This whole episode is just advertising for all these companies. Well, not Wendy's. We kind of savaged theirs.
Yeah, I mean, not really. I mean, with Wendy's, exactly. We're kind of like, and there wasn't too much information. Honestly, Wendy's just didn't have the same cultural impact. People liked the sandwich, but.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, that's all right.
The only kind of real cultural impact was that commercial.
So then people start committing crimes for the sandwich.
Yeah. So this happened September 3rd, 2019. This is a stick-up. But no matter what, at least people believe that Popeyes was holding out on them and decided that the best way to get what they wanted was to stick up local Popeyes.
Wow.
Three men and two women, one of the men brandishing a gun, tried to force their way into a Houston restaurant after being told via the drive-thru the chicken sandwich is unavailable. Thankfully, the group didn't get into the restaurant and no one was hurt.
Sounds like another PR stunt to me.
Then they launched another thing, which Popeyes said, hey, bring your own bun. You know, hey, you can't have the sandwich, but you can just bring a bun and eat it yourself, you know, or make it yourself. November 2nd, 2019, the return of the king. So November 2nd, the
they
sandwich.
Weren't, well, hold on, go back up to the bring your own bun. They weren't even giving you the sandwich. They were just saying stuff some chicken tenders in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you bring the bun, we'll put some tenders on it for you, and there you go.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
The sandwich returns. So November 2nd, 2019, the return of the king. Popeyes relaunched their sandwich on November 2nd, this time with an additional supply to ensure that they would not run out, which according to Paul is a lie, but hey, we don't know. November 2nd was a Sunday, the same day that Chick-fil-A was closed. So they purposely brought the sandwich back. Like, you can't even go to
Chick-fil-A.
I mean,
that's just no... I mean, as far as, like, the game of chicken sandwich chess going on here, making your first move on Sunday when Chick-fil-A literally cannot respond is probably just a no-brainer.
It's pretty good.
So on November 3rd, the quarterback for the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson, credited the sandwich with healing his injured eye. I'll tell you the key. The key is Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich that I ate this week to help this the eye.
What check did they cut to this fucking guy?
Beautiful.
They call him out shameless, but all publicity is good publicity.
I love it.
The sandwich officially becomes a fatal attraction.
It will cure your eye injuries.
It has restorative powers, but it's also deadly. It's a double-edged sword.
The Popeye's chicken sandwich giveth, and the Popeye's chicken sandwich taketh away.
November 4th is a day that will go down in infamy for Popeye's. After an argument in a Maryland Popeye's over cutting in line to get a chicken sandwich, two men stepped outside to the parking lot and fought. And during the fight, one of the men was fatally stabbed. Local law enforcement identified Knifefield as Rico McLean and has been charged with murder and assault. Oh, my God, dude. This is the statement Popeye's released about the stabbing. We're very sad to hear about the tragedy in
their
Maryland.
Statement should just be, ha, 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 ha.
Fuck you, Chick-fil-A. We do not yet know whether this was the result of a dispute over one of the products or something unrelated. No, it was over the chicken sandwich. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. It's like with Pokemon Go, people wandering off cliffs and shit. It's like now if it's a social media sensation... I always just sit back and I'm like, when is someone going to die? Because
I have
of
a
this?
Weird. There's a weird bit of phrasing in this Popeye's thing.
Oh, what is that? What do you want?
Says there is no reason for someone to lose their life on a Monday night in a parking lot. Why? What's with the weird specificity there? Like, why did they feel the need to mention that it was a Monday?
I don't know.
Like, are they saying like Tuesday would be okay? Or?
And look, guys, it just got worse.
Maryland melee.
So there were two notable chicken sandwich-related fights on November 5th. Thankfully, neither was fatal. The first was in Maryland. I guess people in Maryland just lose their minds over chicken sandwiches. A customer jumped over the counter to fight an employee who called his partner stupid. The two men continued brawling in the kitchen. You can watch it if you want.
It doesn't really sound like it has any connection to the chicken sandwich.
Yeah. I think it was just that it was so heated in the environment because there's so many
people. I will say this. When I've been to Popeye's lately, it is like a very aggressive environment in there.
When we bought the sandwich, the woman working the drive-thru was all like, Taylor was like, you know, you guys probably heard of this sandwich crazy over. And she's like, mm-hmm. Like, that woman was done. She just said, like, we were so fucking done with this sandwich. We fucking hate this sandwich. We want this sandwich to go away. We want this fucking trend and craze to just fad just to be over. So obviously there's another fight, for this time in Florida. This is a drive through and a lot of these, yeah, I know it might seem tertiary, but it's really just because the lines are so long. People want the sandwich and they're being stuck in long lines. You know, people, they're not fucking patient enough. They're going to fight. Now this one, so a white man went on a racist tirade to call another customer the N word. He did this in front of a large crowd of black patrons.
Best setting to do that in.
Not a good idea. A group of customers followed the man out to the parking lot where they forced him to apologize and then, for good measure, reportedly took his chicken sandwich away.
Which, you know.
I believe they also knocked him out.
I mean, like, a bunch of black people beating you up and stealing your fried chicken. I mean, they didn't do themselves any favors with that fucking stunt. I'm just saying that.
A car crash. Is it worth a Mercedes to cut in line for a chicken sandwich? Apparently, yeah. For one woman at a drive-thru at a Los Angeles Popeyes, it was. She tried to squeeze past concrete pillars as both customers and employees implored her to stop. So,
that sounds like me, man.
That's just crazy.
That sounds
dude.
Like something I would do.
Oh, man. I guess there's another one. And lastly, there's a recent story about a white person melting down.
What about this November 8th one? What is this?
That it says that somebody that worked at a Popeye's decided to sell marked up chicken sandwiches.
Oh. Well, fuck that guy.
Yeah, yet again, I just said, oh, okay, well, this one really wasn't. I'll say this.
Another N-word meltdown.
This was the guy that slammed the woman, the older woman down.
Right.
That was more about a refund, so that's, I mean, yeah, it does involve a Popeye's. This one's interesting. They were making the sandwiches over a garbage bin.
Cool.
The restaurant had gotten a 100 sandwich order, and yes, that's a tweet, so if you want to click on that, you can...
This?
Yep, yeah, the garbage bin one. And that'll just show us, they're literally making, there's like, let's see. If you keep scrolling down.
You always taught me to fight for the people who need the help the
okay,
most.
Okay, we don't need
oh,
to.
Oh, we did? Go on.
You know how many people have been
oh, man, it just moved.
It just... What
ah!
Narcolepsy!
What's going on?
But then how many?
It says it's supposed to be cut off.
Fuck the site.
Fuck this, dude.
Yeah, fuck the site, dude.
Fuck that. I ain't doing it. November 15th, 2019, child labor laws.
So someone
what
brought,
do they do?
We can imagine that Popeye's restaurants across the country are in need of extra pair of hands in the kitchen. We can't imagine that this Texas father was thinking, clearly, when he called on his reportedly 8-year-old son to don an apron and get in the Popeye's kitchen and help make sandwiches. A representative from Popeye's informed the Root that the employee who brought their child to the kitchen had been terminated.
Boy, get your hands in here and make your damn sandwiches.
And that was an SNL parody, but SNL sucks, we're not even going to cover that.
Who cares? Fuck SNL and
you know,
their parody.
All of these fights and stabbings and shit, while the public face of Popeye's was like, man, we're real sorry that just happened. I know exactly what was going on behind the scenes. There's a... Oh, whoa.
Sorry.
I done fucked myself up.
That was usually framed better.
There's a... There's a documentary called The Smartest Guys in the Room about what the fuck was the name of that goddamn giant company that fucked everybody over? I can't remember it. But anyway, they ended up deregulating the California power market, and it became their job to oversee that power was transited around California, and there were all these fires and shortages and shit, and they were having rolling blackouts and whatnot. And the company on the front face was like, oh, man, we're so sorry about this. We're working real hard to get it done. But they actually found, like, audio recordings of the people that were controlling this. And when they would find out that one of these power lines was going down, they'd be like, oh, man, that's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Oh, that's great. Because they were going to make more money on it. Because they could up the price of fucking electricity to these affected areas.
Yeah, because obviously there's less supply.
So it's the same thing here. Every last one of these incidents that happened... Popeyes was probably like, oh, man, we're so sorry about this. But in the boardroom, they were like, oh, fuck, yeah, man, another giant melee at one of our stores over this sandwich. We're going to make another $1 million, boys.
So this has been a long time coming. So the fastest growing food over the last 10 years in the restaurant industry has been fried chicken sandwiches. One analyst told the New York Times in 2008. And obviously, 12 years later, still going on. And the data backs us up. Between 2011 and 2016, chicken sales at quick service and fast casual restaurants catapulted 42.1%, according to the market research firm Euromonitor International. Chicken chains were thriving, and non-chicken chains were doubling down extra chicken offerings. So, I mean, even the places that aren't known for having fried chicken,
I don't know where you are in this article here.
I'm not in the article yet.
Oh, okay, sorry.
We're about to get there. We can. That's just the thing I wanted to read. So now we're going to read about this. Just okay. How big of a deal was this? You can go down a little bit. So here. So Apex Marketing Group estimated that Popeye's reaped $65 million in equivalent media value, nearly triple the $23 million media value the sandwich generated in its first few days of sale, according to the company.
Played the public like a harp from hell.
$65 million. So that's basically the equivalent of them spending $65 million promoting the sandwich, which was just done for them.
Yeah.
So the next question is, how did the attention really manifest? YouGov took a dive into the fast food cultural experience to explore a few data points. Firstly, despite the shortage, Popeye's achieved one of the most significant improvements in YouGov's ad awareness metric, whether someone has seen or has heard an advertisement by a company in the past 2 weeks among consumers throughout September. So if we can go down, we can look at a little chart here.
So is this it?
Yeah, so August 1st, they're...
Ad of the month, U.S. Popeyes.
They're about 20%. By the time they do that, you bring your own bun, they're up to about 30%.
Another argument for my artificial scarcity. it's out. And then look at the fucking graph. Oh, God, it's chicken sandwich, chicken sandwich, chicken, 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 chicken. I hate this shit. I hate these fucking companies, man. I'm taking another point away from this Popeye sandwich because they sold it all fucking shady-like.
That's one thing I love about Paul, dude. He finds a conspiracy theory even in a chicken sandwich.
At least Chick-fil-A doesn't fucking go like, oh, sorry, y'all, but for 3 days this week, we're going to be out of our chicken sandwich. No, you just go in there and you get your goddamn chicken sandwich, which is the way it should be.
There's just one day a week they won't sell it to you.
So let's try another part here. It says Popeye's and Chick-fil-A ad awareness for August. So the purple line
don't
here
cross
is,
the streams.
Is Popeye's, and the red is Chick-fil-A. Look at this. Ad awareness score hits a high on August 28th. I mean, Popeye's is outshining Chick-fil-A.
Kicking their ass
now,
in marketing
it looks like towards the end of the beginning of September, that's starting to kind of meet parity again.
Because they've already cashed in. They've done their artificial scarcity shit. They got their big fucking wad of cash from all their unpaid advertising agents.
Yeah, up to $65 million in value estimated for the.
Now they're just kind of slipping into what should have been a normal sandwich release. It's like, all right, now you can get the sandwich anytime.
So, John, the next one, TJ, the word of mouth one.
Word of mouth.
So Popeye's word of mouth hits an all-time high. So this is which of the following brands have you talked about with friends or family members, whether online, in person, or through social media in the past 2 weeks?
So they basically doubled their fucking. I don't know how, you know.
The score ranges from 0% to 100%. And Popeyes at this time hits a high of 10.1.
So that's one in 10 people talking about their sandwich.
And then let's compare Chick-fil-A and Popeyes. Who got more word of mouth? Looks like Chick-fil-A is...
Chick-fil-A, Popeyes could never catch up with the word of mouth on Chick-fil-A.
But it's close. I mean,
a better sandwich.
They started at 10 and they doubled. I mean, Chick-fil-A kind of they pretty much stay around 20 to 25. That's kind of the range that they're looking in. Let's go. Keep going down, TJ. And actually, at this point, you see that Chick-fil-A says, who got better buzz, Popeyes, Chick-fil-A? And this is the question was asked was, if you've heard anything about the brand the past 2 weeks through news, advertising, or word of mouth, was it positive or negative? So Popeyes, the sandwich comes out. Shoots up. I mean, we're at almost 25%. Chick-fil-A, pretty much 15%.
I mean, well, Chick-fil-A has a lot of negative press because of all their anti-LGBT
bullshit. Yeah, the wind shape stuff, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the super Christian angle. That fundy Christian thing don't really resonate with a lot of people.
You know, the founder, the Truett Cathy dude was a Southern Baptist.
Right.
So.
I've always thought that it was, I don't know, dude. For me, like, that shit doesn't matter. I don't care. Like, I've bought things from people that have stupid beliefs before. As long as their stupid beliefs are not interceding in my ability to eat the goddamn chicken sandwich, I really don't give a fuck.
So
I'm just saying that, you know, a lot of people do give a fuck, and
right.
It does hurt their brand.
So Restaurant Brands International lead investor 3G Capital told the Wall Street Journal that edgy social media posts are often better use of money than TV spots and just look at Burger King.
No shit.
So nobody watches TV anymore. So
I mean, on Twitter, you're actually, I mean, like, it's an advertiser's wet dream to actually be able to directly interact with the audience. So
not only that, but to have the audience pick up the torch of their advertising,
right,
and do it themselves.
Like, basically recruit you in a fucking fanatical army that's out there promoting their sandwich.
And now listen to this. The company added that internal research showed that many Americans hadn't tried Popeyes before its chicken sandwich launch. Popeyes America's president, Felipe
Atayade,
yeah, good, said, marketing can't be any better than this. And he wasn't wrong. It brought customers into a brand who weren't talking about before. So this is actually, we're going to look at the buyer data. So the green graph here is Popeyes chicken sandwich buyers, and the darker green one is all Popeyes customers. So Gen Z, you see an increase, 3.3%, previously 2.6%. Millennials, 1% higher at 20%. Gen X.
Dumbass Gen Xers getting sucked into this shit.
Look, they lost boomers, though.
Boomers are like,
I'm scared of the chicken sandwich. I hate change.
Just because boomers don't know how to use social media, though.
But look at this, TJ.
But they knew about it because they actively started avoiding the Popeyes. It's like, oh, it's dangerous there now.
High income people, 46%. Before, all Popeyes customers, 38%. This is high income is over $80,000.
Gotcha.
Stupid rich folks.
So they got the rich people to come in a little more.
So it says some interesting notes. The item brought in visitors with unique characteristics versus its typical buyers. It attracted younger, more affluent customers from larger households compared to the average Popeyes customers. 92% of product buyers said they were either extremely or somewhat likely to return to Popeyes to purchase the sandwich again in the future, indicating the item could be critical to inspire and sustain customer loyalty. I mean, so basically, this has really kicked off a new era for Popeyes. This might actually become the focus of the chain, is what they're saying. This might actually be the future chain. Is not actually.
It's going to be a chicken sandwich joint.
Yeah.
By the way, I understand the mathematical fallacy. Fucking people in the comments are going to be like, actually, the boomers did not stop going. It's just that they were a smaller percentage of the market because of the increased youth. Like, I understand. I just want to make the boomer joke. I hate that you're in my head, random complaining piece of shit person out there. Fuck
we
you.
Own you, TJ. Shut your mouth, bitch.
I hate that fucking son of a bitch.
So this is actually interesting, too. So
in whatever form he or she takes.
So this is the retailer's share of chicken sandwich sales. So Chick-fil-A, okay, as you would expect, So this is 4 weeks prior to the Popeyes launch, 53%. 2 weeks initial launch, 54.9%. So, I mean, Chick-fil-A's business isn't, like, it's not going anywhere.
I mean, a lot of that was due to the fact that in that two-week initial launch, they started to run out of chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
So people started going to the fucking competition.
But look at McDonald's. 17% down to 15.1%. Subway, 9.2% down to 8.6%. Burger King down. Wendy's up 0.5%, 4.3 to 4.8. KFC down, which is that's critical for KFC because you figure that'd be one of the big markets they'd want. Popeye's 0.8% to 3.4% in a six-week period. So, I mean, they became an actual player in 6 weeks.
Right. It's weird to see the McDonald's chicken sandwiches. I mean, it just shows you the fucking absolute brand dominance of McDonald's as a chain.
Yeah, because we didn't even feel we knew their chicken. I mean, look,
I mean, we're not going to try a McChicken sandwich.
I ate it a few weeks ago.
You did?
Out of curiosity.
It's just a chicken nugget.
I mean, it's disgusting. It was barely any chicken. Like, first of all, any of the patties of chicken we had here today, any like the smallest chicken patty I had on any of these sandwiches is three times the size of the fucking McDonald's chicken patty. It's like a fucking, it might as well be a piece of lunch meat.
So, TJ, we've tasted the sandwiches, learned about the great chicken sandwich war of 2019. So what lies on the horizon for 2020, TJ?
What does?
Chicken.
Scotty?
According to the National Council of Chicken, which I guess does exist, which is news to me. In 2018.
National Council of Chicken.
I really hope that's how the meetings go.
I was there.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
I am the Grand Chicken Chancellor.
The Grand Chicken Poobah. Yeah, there you go. In 2018, Americans ate 93.8 pounds of chicken per person. For 2020, that number is forecast to grow to 98.5 pounds.
So chicken is just having its day in the sun.
If anything, TJ, it sounds like this is the beginning of America's further descent into fried chicken gluttony.
Further ascent into fried chicken bliss, you mean?
Yeah. One step closer to fried chicken nirvana.
Will there be a new challenger to throw their hat in the arena? I've heard rumblings that McDonald's is testing. Now listen, in Houston and Knoxville, they're testing a sandwich. McDonald's going to jump into this
McDonald's,
fray.
You ain't doing... No.
They're trying.
You tried.
They're going to try.
All right. Well, then you got to... McDonald's, I'll tell you how you start. Show your little piece of... Here's your commercial, all right? Your little piece of shit chicken sandwich no one wants is sitting there, right?
Okay.
And then you're like, this was the McDonald's chicken sandwich. We're sorry. And then a giant fucking even bigger than the Popeyes chicken sandwich comes and smashes it into a flat little pancake. Like, boom! This is the new McDonald's chicken sandwich, bitch.
I'm not counting out McDonald's. I'm not saying that I have a whole lot of faith that they're going to actually make a better sandwich.
Yeah.
But McDonald's dwarfs every one of the other companies that we're talking about in terms of total market share globally.
But I'll tell you what, they got a lot of fucking failed sandwiches under their belt.
But they can afford to do that, though.
Right.
They can afford to just
but they can't afford
release
to,
all
if
these
they're
test
fucking,
market sandwiches.
If they're trying to be a serious contender in this chicken sandwich war that's clearly going on.
They already are.
They got to fucking bring it. They got to bring the heat.
I mean, they have the money to do it. It's just, can they pull off a chicken sandwich that's comparable to the Popeyes?
I ain't counting them out.
Or comparable to Chick-fil-A.
They got to figure out some way to stand out from those two. Like, Popeyes has got the big fucking cornered, right? They got that. Fucking Chick-fil-A, they're the fucking classic that everyone... They're the go-to. They're the top of the fucking shit heap that everyone's trying to fucking unthrone. So, McDonald's has got to bring a different fucking tactic to this game. And you know what? I think McDonald's should do it by eating up that Wendy's market share, honestly, because that's the fucking weak. That's the weak fucking link in the chain right now. Honestly,
Wendy's doesn't
that
have
thing.
Much
they ain't bringing it.
Yeah, Wendy's chicken sandwich.
Maybe
on
that
support.
Was okay for 1996. Beep. That ain't cutting it no
yeah,
more.
Yeah, it's
Wendy's.
Not, dude. I mean, like when you taste both. The Chick-fil-A and the Popeye sandwich. You're like, Wendy's got to step their game up, dude. I used to think Wendy's had a solid chicken sandwich, but I mean now I have to say they don't.
The standard. Look, if nothing else. Popeyes has raised the fucking standard for these fucking chicken sandwiches because it's like, hey, you can actually compete with Chick-fil-A, but you got to bring something special. So I think McDonald's needs to fucking realize they got to bring something special if they really want to fucking be in this chicken sandwich war.
It's kind of crazy to me because Chick-fil-A's per location. How much do you think a Chick-fil-A makes per location, TJ?
Oh, every time I go to Chick-fil-A, it's fucking packed to the hilt.
Just take a guess.
Per day?
Just in a year.
in a year, an average Chick-fil-A like, location
what
in
are
a
the,
year.
Like, what are their sales
like
a year?
$3 or $4
I don't know,
million.
Like $5 million.
$4.8 million per year. $4.8 million. And you know, to start a Chick-fil-A, it's only $10,000. You have to go through an extreme vetting process, and 20,000 people apply a year. But if you get one, literally any one of us could start a Chick-fil-A.
I don't
if we're selected, we would.
Dude, I mean, I think that's wise of them, because McDonald's will obviously give the fucking keys to a McDonald's to anybody.
If you got enough money, yeah.
But you, that selectiveness is probably why their quality is so consistent.
And you can only own one Chick-fil-A. You can't multi-franchise.
They're super wise about that, because the quality of any given Chick-fil-A, like, it's 100% consistent from location to location. And that's the big thing that's missing from all these other fucking fast food chains.
Except McDonald's, honestly. Like, yeah, McDonald's, you may not say that the quality of the food is comparable, but in terms of what you can expect, a McDonald's is a McDonald's. That's why
I
they
feel
do
like
so
there's
well.
There's way more variance between
there's
McDonald's.
There's a disparity
than there are
in the level
Chick-fil-A's.
Of the service at McDonald's.
Yeah,
though, that,
I don't know.
A Chick-fil-A just doesn't have.
I've never gone to a McDonald's and gone like, wow, I got a really substandard McDonald's. I always just get McDonald's at a McDonald's.
Yeah. I mean,
well,
I don't know.
Normally go through the drive-thru as well.
I do.
Yeah, well, you're smart. McDonald's is best through the drive-thru, in my opinion.
I feel like I've definitely seen some. I mean, there's like, even in this town, I feel like I know which are the better McDonald's.
There definitely
you're gonna get better food at
Chick-fil-A, though. They're all about the same, in my opinion.
That's kind of what the point I'm making is, just like, every Chick-fil-A is identical in terms of quality, and you're gonna get the same quality sandwich every fucking time, no matter where it is. I mean, I've never been to bad fucking Chick-fil-A. I've been to a ton of bad McDonald's.
If McDonald's can bring up that game, they could be a serious competitor. But that's the chicken sandwich wars of 2019.
Wow.
Might be a 2020 episode if the McDonald's or some other companies come with some competitors.
Dude, I wish we owned a fast food restaurant. I want to compete with these bastards.
I don't.
Yeah, me either. I'm
glad I don't.
I want to deal with the madness.
You want to deal with the fucking bullshit of being a fucking chicken sandwich business owner?
Make me the CEO of one of these. Wendy's, I'll help you out. Make me CEO. Okay. I know what the people want, goddammit.
Deep Fat Fried. Deep Fat Fried.